Jared Lopes remembers thinking that marriage and parenting would be easy.
I always wanted to be a dad, always wanted to be a husband. I had looked forward to that for many, many years. Became a dad, became a husband in my early 20s. Realized, like, I'm not as good at this as I thought I would be. And I think what I realized pretty quickly in marriage is I can fake a lot of things, but you can't fake it in marriage. And you can't fake it as a dad. Like, you're under the microscope. You can only hide for so long before your stuff is revealed.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. If being a husband and a dad is harder work than you thought it was going to be, what we're going to talk about today is just for you. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So I'd like to see a show of hands from our listeners, the dads who are listening, the husbands who are listening.
I know where you're going with this.
I'd like a show of hands if you want to be a good husband and a good father. Right?
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going.
Yeah?
Where'd you think I was? I thought you were going to say all the dads who are tired.
Who are dad tired.
Yeah, right? Dad tired. That's me.
Well,
I
was thinking about that, but we've got the dads who want to be good husbands and good dads. Now, all of same show of hands for those of you who feel like you are equipped to do the job. So,
Good question.
I wonder how many hands went up the first time and how many stayed down the second time, right? Don't you think most guys have the desire but don't have the blueprints?
Yeah, and I actually remember going to the Family Life weekend, remember, engaged 2 weeks before my wedding, going through the dad talk on Sunday morning.
Right.
As a, you know, potential going to be husband, hopefully going to be a dad, and walking out absolutely overwhelmed. I did. I remember, number one, first time I'd ever heard a vision of what a God wanted a godly husband and dad to be.
Right.
Never heard that before. But then secondly, I'll never be able to do that. No chance. And then later realizing that's exactly where God wanted me. Well, overwhelmed to the point where I can't do that without him.
We are going to equip guys, the men who said, I have the desire, but I don't have the skill. We're going to get them trained up.
I think that you need to have the women have a show of hands of how many of you women would like your husbands to be the dads.
I don't need a show of hands for that.
They've got both hands and legs up in the air.
That's right. We've got a guy joining us today who is regularly mentoring husbands and dads through a weekly podcast and now through a book. The book is called Dad Tired and Loving It. The podcast is called Dad Tired. And Jared Lopes joins us on Family Life Today. Jared, welcome.
So grateful to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. I want to read through. Here's the equipping you're going to get. These are the chapter titles from Jared's book, okay? Colorblind, Satan's Cesspool, Football Jerseys, The Syrup Aisle, Hide and Seek, Squirrel Food, Lost in the Woods, A Case of the Ronalds, and Headed to Aspen. So you can see we've got a vision for your
father. It's obvious. Yeah,
let's just close in prayer. Yeah, I think I know everything I need to do. Here's what I love about those chapter titles is, as I read the book, I love the way you write. There's story-based. Mm. That's how we tried to write our book. Story and then truth. That's you.
Yeah,
and
cool.
There's so many great stories and great truth.
You had a favorite story as you were reading the book, didn't you? The dentist office, was that your favorite story?
I mean, there were so many, but you know, when I met Jared, I was like, so I'm looking at the guy who walks in a dentist's office.
And I never imagined that this was actually going to be aired anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? It's much easier to put it on paper than it is to talk about it.
Yeah, and I don't want a visual, but tell us the story.
Jared, how old were you first?
I wish I could say I was young, but I mean, I think I was married. Yeah. So I was like at least in my mid-20s.
So you're in your mid-20s. You go to the dentist. What happened?
Well, the backstory is I had just recently before I had gone to the dentist, I had my appendix out.
Okay.
And so I went to the hospital, get my appendix out. You know, they go into kind of an emergency surgery. And, you know, when you go into a surgery, you kind of get stripped down. You put the gown on and they go into surgery. So it was either a couple months later, I'm at the dentist to have some teeth pulled. And
Your wisdom teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the dental assistant hands me a gown and, you know, kind of a cover up and then leaves the room. And I just was, you know, I was like, I've been here before. I know what to do. And so I just stripped down, man, and put the gown on. And she comes back in the room just mortified.
I guess so.
Just ready to call whoever she needs to call to get the lawsuit started. And I immediately realized I've made a bad decision.
Can you imagine how she tells that story? Yeah. I had this dude, yeah. He takes his pants yeah. off. She says, he got
sir,
his teeth pulled.
Yeah, sir, you can keep your pants on. This is just for your teeth today.
I'm sure there's a spiritual lesson we're going to get from that.
Yes.
But before we get to the spiritual lesson, just take us back in your own journey. At what point did you realize you had the desire to be a godly husband and father, but didn't have the training to know how to do it?
My dad left when I was 3. So I grew up with my mom, who was a single mom, raised us, and I had 3 older sisters. So that was kind of my upbringing. They were actually much older than me. So my closest sister in age is 5 years. So I always kind of felt like a single or like an only child in many ways. I remember being in the driveway playing basketball, and I would imagine my dad in the driveway kind of coaching me as a kid. And even as I look back now, I think of all the memories that I had of like kind of it sounds sad and interesting and kind of weird to say, like I had these fantasies of a dad actually being present and mentoring me. And so I remember as quickly as I could make the connection, I want to be the dad that I never had. And I always wanted to be a dad, always wanted to be a husband. I had looked forward to that for many, many years. Became a dad, became a husband in my early 20s, realized like I'm not as good at this as I thought I would be. And I think what I realized pretty quickly in marriage is I can fake a lot of things, but you can't fake it in marriage. And you can't fake it as a dad. Like you're under the microscope. You can only hide for so long before your stuff is revealed.
Where were the cracks showing up in your marriage and in your parenting?
So there was actually this time, we were married probably 4 or 5 years, where I had been part of planting some churches and was working with a friend. One of the churches that we helped plant, things went really bad. And pretty quickly and unexpectedly, I found myself without work. I wasn't working at the church anymore. It was the first time I hadn't worked at a church since I was 18. So came home unexpectedly, didn't have a job. I went into a depression, just like a tailspin. I didn't know my identity. Like I said, from 18 years old, I had been a pastor at a church. And so now all of a sudden, I'm not. And I was really hurt by the church. And I'm like, started to distance myself from my wife, became very, very selfish, was really a poor excuse of a dad. I wasn't engaging with my kids. That was the first time my wife and I, we were, you know, the first kind of 4 or 5 years of marriage, we were like, still in that honeymoon phase, you know, things were great. We had good jobs and house and kids and things were great. But it was the first time we had experienced some like real trials, and which they always say, you know, yeah, I just read this morning that you find out who you really are, right? Mm-hmm. In the trials. And in the trials, I found out, man, I'm actually not that great of a guy. I'm not the kind of man that I thought I would be. Mm-hmm. I think one of the beautiful and hard things of marriage is the way that God allows your wife to expose that in you. As a single guy, I could kind of run from that.
Yeah. What was coming through? I mean, what was the stuff that was coming to the surface that you're going, this is not who I'm supposed to be?
Yeah. So for me, I became really, really selfish. My thought was originally, okay, I'm out of job. I was hurt by the church. I had made a commitment. I'm never going to be in ministry again. Don't want to do this anymore. And so I thought, I'll start some businesses. I was just trying to overcompensate. So I think I'm qualified. I think I've got talent. I'll just go, let me just kind of go prove to the world and to myself I can be successful and do it. And so I started a business. And I thought, I'm going to go kind of create a bucket list of things to do and just start checking those things off. And meanwhile, my wife's suffering. We're not emotionally engaged. We're not spiritually engaged, physically. I mean, we're just distant from each other as I'm kind of off running my own little dreams here. And there was one particular day where we were standing in our bedroom and we were in the middle of an argument, which in that season of life was a pretty regular thing. And I had said something hurtful to my wife, and we're standing there and she starts to get tears in her eyes, and which is rare. My wife, she's the rock. She's strong. I'm the emotionally sometimes unstable one. And so I say something hurtful to her and she starts to get tears in her eyes and she's just staring at me and she says, Jared, I just want you to know that I've been setting my alarm to go off at 2 a.m. every morning. And I go into the living room and I get on my face and I just pray that God would capture your heart again, that you'd fall in love with him again. I always tell people, I would have rather she cussed me out. I could have handled that better. But the Holy Spirit really used that as like the wake up call for me. Like, man, what am I doing here? And that's actually how Dad Tired started.
If she says that and it changes your life,
yeah.
What? How did you respond? Because some guys, I could see me in a weak moment being mad and angry and saying, who are you to tell me that? Yeah. And yet the other side is I can feel what you're feeling. The Holy Spirit just spoke through my wife.
Yep.
What happened?
I think that the Holy Spirit had already been softening my heart and, and just in his sovereign timing had that moment planned for the recapturing of my heart. How do you slam the door after that, right? Your wife looks at you and says, I've been praying for you every night. And for the wives listening, wives often ask me, like, what do I need to do to encourage my husband? Pray often for their heart and don't relent in your prayers for your husband. Because ultimately, what my wife knew, which was so profound, was he doesn't need behavior change. He needs heart change. Mm. And she could have nagged me and nagged me and nagged me to change my behavior. And I would have either got mad or I would have relented and changed my behavior. But that's surface level. So what she was doing is say, I want this to go way deeper. I want his heart to actually be changed. And she knew I can't change Jared's heart. There's only one who can. And so she went to the one who can actually change my heart, which was just incredibly profound. So that was a moment where I was like, okay, I don't want to be this kind of husband. That was really a wake-up call for me. I, like any good millennial, just started to process on social media, which, you know, in hindsight, you're like, why are you putting all your stuff on social media? But I wrote this little blog that basically said, I feel like I am a terrible husband and dad, but I don't want to be. I put it on my Facebook page for just my friends. I wasn't a blogger or anything, just put it up for my friends to see. And we actually went to Hawaii. I turned the laptop off. We went to Hawaii. I came back and that blog ended up being shared over 1 million times.
Wow.
And what happened was there was all kinds of guys from around the world saying, bro, I feel the same way. I feel like I'm failing as a husband and dad, you know, just to answer that question that you started the segment on. I feel like I want to be a good husband, dad, but I'm nowhere near what I thought I would be or where I want to be. And they just started saying we should band together. And that's really how Dad Tired started. Like, I had no strategy. I had no plans to start a ministry. I just fell into it in the midst of hurt.
And it's interesting because band together is what's happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to be a blogger and have people who read your blog. You've created an underground tribe, a community of guys where it's almost like you could pull out and it would keep going, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And even you saying I created it, you know, it feels weird. I often tell people I feel like the mascot. You know, I just like, hey, let me fail in front of everybody and then talk to you guys about it. That's I started the book by saying I've got kids who are 8, 6, and 7 months. To try to present to anybody that I have some sage wisdom as a dad would be absolutely ridiculous. I was literally yelling at my kid 2 days ago and like not, you know, in tears, what am I doing as a dad? I still don't know what I'm doing. But really, I think for whatever reason, God just said, okay, Jared, I'm going to give you a platform to process what it looks like to try to love me and to lead your family well. And then now there's a bunch of guys in this community together. But you're right. There is a community of men now. It's incredible how God is using social media and online platforms to connect men together. We're talking to dads who are 24 to 35 years old. I don't have data, but I would guess that's probably the number one most disengaged group of people, demographic in the church. And yet these guys are just hungry for community, and God's using a little thing like Facebook to get guys together to push each other.
And guys are connecting by reading your blog, but you also have this group that guys can join, and there's like an entrance exam you got to take to get in, right? How does that work?
So we have a Facebook group. It's a closed group where guys come in, and there's some, you know, guys can be a little bit anonymous in that. They have a Facebook profile picture if they so choose, but other than that, they're a little bit anonymous, which I think kind of helps guys be more honest than they would be. All their friends and family aren't reading it, you know, so it's closed in that way. What had happened at the beginning is Facebook actually started to recommend all these guys to come in the group. And at first I was like, great, let's get all the guys we can. And so guys just started flocking in there. What I learned was they didn't have the same desires as the guys who were part of the Dad Tired community. They were just looking for dad jokes and kind of, you know, let's make fun of our wife and kids, which wasn't that's not the thing we're trying to do. So yeah, I created a Facebook allowed me to kind of filter who comes in. I just asked a little bit of an entrance exam to make sure that we're getting the right guys.
You just got a new member today.
Yeah.
What kind of questions are on that exam?
You joined?
Yeah, I joined this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I knew about the book and I knew about the blog. I didn't know there was a group to join. And I was like, oh, I can't just jump in.
Yeah,
I almost declined. I had to answer a few questions.
Yeah, like what? What questions? Yeah.
I had to say Bob Lapine was my best friend, and he's a great dad. No, I mean, basically, it was really getting at, and it wasn't extensive, but it was getting at, why do you want to be a part of this? Yeah. Just tell us why, and have you read what we're about, and let's go. And so I'm excited to see where it goes. But here's what's really interesting, that I didn't know this part of the story. That I don't want to make the issue, but think about how this started from a wife praying.
Yep.
And there's so many wives, I think, that think, okay, I'll pray, but I also have to confront and talk and nag and nag. She didn't. She just prayed and had to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know one man, her husband, was going to be changed, but now thousands.
Yeah.
That's
such
beautiful.
A beautiful perspective, too. And really, I mean, I should trade places with her. The fact that lives are changing, God is drawing the heart of men, is really started because of a woman who said, I need to trust Jesus with my husband.
She was using her influence, and she was using her desperation and going to the Father first. Yeah. And I think that's not easy for us to do as women. We'd like to go to our husbands first and tell them to change. So I love her walk with God and her need for him. Look what he did.
Yep.
Yeah, and the other side is you responded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know there's women that have maybe prayed and their husband just hard, and you repented.
Yeah.
And the rest is a legacy that you don't even know yet, but your own children are going to be changed because of you deciding to say, I got to hear this from not my wife, my Savior.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what was the biggest course correction, the biggest pivot that occurred from the time that your wife said, I've been praying that God would grab a hold of your heart, to where you are today and still in process, still stumbling, still getting upset with your kids at the wrong time, right? So it's not like you've arrived, but you're different today than when you had that conversation with your wife years ago.
Right. She would say so.
That's good.
Yeah. For me, the biggest thing was in that season of life, I was really, really isolated on purpose. I didn't want to be around Christians. Sin loves darkness. So I wanted to kind of stay under the cover of that darkness and not be around anything that had to do with light. I would have never said those words out loud, but that was definitely the reflection of my life, right? And so one of the very first things that we did was I actually said to my wife, we need to be around Christians. Like, we need to be around community again. And, you know, God, the way that he designed things, I was leading my family, and men often are leading their family, whether they know it or not. It's just a matter of what they're leading them to. And so even in my sin and rebellion, I was leading my family towards isolation. I wasn't the first one to say, let's get up and be around Christian community. I was the one saying, let's stay home. And I don't want to be anywhere near it. And as a result, oftentimes my kids weren't going to church, but they're not around Christian community. So the first thing I said was like, we need people around us. I always think about it as like bumpers when you go bowling, or, you know, the guardrails. Mm-hmm. Pretty quick, if you watch me bowl, I can't even get like 3 feet down before I'm in the gutter, right? And I always say, like, for me as a man, I get like 3 feet by myself and you'll find me in the gutter. We don't drift towards God, we drift away from him.
Right.
And so for me, the railing for that gutter is Christian community. Other men and women of all different ages to be around me to say, like, hey, bro, you're about to go in the gutter. Like, let me point you back towards Jesus. And one cool thing, I'm a really visual, I believe really heavily in having visual reminders in our home to kind of point us back towards Jesus. And one of the things we did was my wife actually bought me a Polaroid camera. I said, I want to have 100 people in our house over the next year eating dinner at our table. She was like, I don't know if we can hit it. I'm like, well, let's try. But she got me that Polaroid camera. So every time somebody would come over after dinner, we'd gather in the living room and we'd take a Polaroid picture with them. And then we would take that picture and put it up on our wall. And we did that for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons was just to see, like, okay, these are the people that we need around us that are going to keep us from being in the gutter.
I want to point out, I read these chapters in your book about Satan's cesspool and the syrup aisle and lost in the woods. But I look at the sections of your book. Here's a book about how to be the kind of dad that you want to be. And the main sections are the kingdom of God around you, the kingdom of God in you, and the kingdom of God through you. When you stop and think about it, if you want to be the dad God's calling you to be, the key is, are you a kingdom man, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And to organize your book in this direction and say, let's talk about the kingdom of God around you and the kingdom of God in you and then the kingdom of God through you, that's going all the way back to the taproot to say the fruit of being the kind of husband and dad we want to be is going to come when the taproot is right.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys are bored. I think our churches are actually filled with men who are really bored. I tell the story of a time I was in Egypt and we had to have police escorts with us at all times. We had a big film company, our crew with us, and so that we just had to have police with us at all times. And towards the end of the trip, I had wanted to go out and get a souvenir for my wife. And so I'm laying in the hotel bed. It's probably like midnight, but the city I could hear was just still bustling around me. And I didn't have enough luggage space to get all the candy and treats that I had bought for my wife home. And so I'm like, I need a backpack or a suitcase or something. So I woke up, or I got jumped up and I went down and I kind of snuck out the lobby through the police escorts who were waiting down at the lobby. And all of a sudden I found myself in the middle of Egypt by myself without the police escorts. And I was freaked out. I was scared to death. You know, I was like, this is what I wanted. And now I'm terrified. And I ended up finding a bag. I found some young people who spoke English and helped me with that. But I got back to the hotel room and I was laying on the bed. It was probably 1 a.m. by this point, and my heart was just racing. And I thought to myself, I had this thought like, did I really want a backpack or did I want an adrenaline rush?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wanted the adrenaline rush even more than I wanted the backpack. And I don't think guys ever stop wanting that. And so I think we have a lot of guys who are bored in our churches, and they're just, I always say bored men are dangerous men. And what's happening is we're looking for adventure, but when we're bored, we often look for it in a lot of dumb places. Mm-hmm. And this is why you see guys entangled with pornography and having affairs and or even things that aren't necessarily quote unquote sinful, but they're just into really, like, for lack of better words, lame stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you spending so many hours on fantasy football or on playing your video games or whatever? You know, like, I love sports and all that stuff, but you're just spending a lot of time on this stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day. And I think it's just because men are bored. And so what I'm trying to do is invite guys to say, hey, there's a way bigger story happening around you. This is the kingdom of God around you. And he's, in his grace, invited you into this huge story. Like, let's dive into that kind of adventure.
Well, I do think, before we're done, and I'm going to tell people how they can get a copy of your book and how they can find your blog and how they can find out about the Facebook group. You can go to our website at familylifetoday.com. But before we're done, you do have to explain what the spiritual principle was around the miscue in the dentist's office, okay? Go to our website, familylifetoday.com, if you want to find out about Jared's book and about his Facebook page. We've got copies of the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the title of the book is Dad, Tired, and Loving It by Jared Lopes. Go to familylifetoday.com to order, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And again, if you want information about the blog or the Facebook group, it's on our website as well at familylifetoday.com. Now, what was it that you learned from your disoriented moment in the dentist office when you thought that that protective smock was actually a hospital gown?
Yeah, I tell a few stories in that chapter. Essentially, the point I'm trying to make in that chapter is oftentimes for dads, they're paralyzed by thinking, I can't really step into spiritual leadership because I'm just going to do it wrong. Mm-hmm. And the point I'm trying to make in that chapter specifically is you will mess up, like, for sure. And I give a couple examples through stories where it was the right thing, but the wrong timing or the wrong place. And there have been so many times with my kids where I'm trying to give, like, these great theological explanations of something, and it's just terrible timing, like straight through their head, like one in one ear out the other. They just, it never landed. And that's why the subtitle of the book is Stumbling Your Way to Spiritual Leadership. And that's essentially the point I was trying to make.
Well, again, you can read about that and other miscues from our guest, Jared.
Many
Lopes
of them.
Go to
familylifetoday.com
for information about Jared's book, which is called Dad, Tired, and Loving It, Stumbling Your Way Through Spiritual Leadership. There's also a link to Jared's blog on our website. So again, familylifetoday.com is where you can get information about Jared's resources, or call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. I don't know if you know this, Jared. I wrote a book a number of years ago called The Christian Husband that's about being a spiritual leader in your marriage. And we want to make that book available for our listeners, for any of our listeners who can help with a donation to support the ministry of Family Life. Family Life exists because folks like you who listen regularly have decided this is important not just for you and your family, but it's important for your community. You want to help reach other people with practical biblical help and hope for marriages and families. Every time you donate, you help extend the reach of this ministry. You're actually pouring into the lives of young husbands and dads, young wives and moms. Families are being reshaped as a result of your investment in this ministry. And again, if you can help with the donation today, we'll send you a copy of my book, The Christian Husband, as a way of saying thank you for your support. Go to familylifetoday.com to make a donation, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. We appreciate your partnership with us in the Ministry of Family Life Today and look forward to hearing from you. And we hope you can be back with us again tomorrow when we're going to hear more from Jared Lopes about what spiritual leadership in the home should look like. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.